If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. After all, Paul has been defending his ministry and talking about the ministry of reconciliation. We're going to talk about this morning what it means to be reconciled by God. We're going to see that it's for the ministry of reconciliation. Stand with me when you find your place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read in verse 18 down through the end of the chapter in verse 21. We talked last week, if you remember, about the atonement of Christ and how the love of God controlled Paul and all of those who no longer live for themselves, but for their sake. They're living for the one who died and was raised on their behalf. And so in talking about that, in verse 18, we see that all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So that's why we've titled our message, Reconciled by God for the Ministry of Reconciliation. It says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to see clearly this morning. God, in this glorious message of the gospel of hope that's dawning, salvation full and free, Lord, we know that you went, sent your Son to a cross to die on behalf of sinners. Lord, there was an object of redemption. There's not some hope and a waiting and a pleading and a poor old innocent, poor old God waiting for people to come. You are reconciling the world in Christ to yourself. And we are the agents. We are your mouthpiece. We are the ones carrying the message of reconciliation. So may we be faithful. Lord, may we see a purpose. May we see that the message transforms. God, would you use us? Would you bring glory to yourself? Help us to see clearly your scripture this morning, and may it bring change in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we see in the beginning of chapter 18 of last week that we talked about being in Christ, we were new creations. There's a new identity. There's new desires. There's a new purpose. We are what we call being united with Christ. Old things have and are continuing to pass away. And then in verse 18, we see that the writer, the Apostle Paul, is saying all of this is from God. That God is the author. God is the one who is the one bringing about the transformation. God is the one who is moving, who is seeking, who is transforming lives. And we talked a little bit about last week in looking at that newness and that new creation. We saw that those who come to know Christ, those who submit and surrender to Jesus and by faith believe in the work of Christ on the cross that was personal for them, and they trust him and call on him to save him. We saw that there is a transformation, there is a newness, there is a new identity that we should see. And so now we see Paul saying that in verse 18, he says, and this is from God. And he goes on to say that this pronoun describing God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So what does it mean for God in Christ to reconcile us to himself? The word reconcile, just if you look it up and Google it, or just Webster's Dictionary, it means to restore friendly relationships between. And we can understand that. If you've got a problem with someone and you go and you make things right, the relationship is reconciled. You've been reconciled to that person. You're no longer their enemy, or you're no longer an object of their frustration. The relationship has been mended, and you have been reconciled to that person. Friendly relations are now results of reconciliation. So it's talking about here, this reconciliation is between God and sinners. Now you say, why do we need to be reconciled to God? Now we know about the character of God. The character of God, it says He is holy, He is pure, He is righteous, He is just in all things. Well, we know at the fall of man and Adam and Eve sinning in the garden, we know that we rebelled against God and sin was passed down. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we understand that all too well. And so there's a holy God and there is a sinful people. And so when Paul is talking about that through Christ, God is reconciling the world to Himself, he is saying that this atonement, this dying of the Lamb of God being the substitute for sinners, is bridging a gap between God's holiness and man's sinfulness. There is a vindication of God in getting His justice and His wrath on the substitute. So last week we talked about the substitutionary atonement. Anna said that was good that I talked about a substitute teacher, one who takes the place of, one who fills in for. Jesus, being our substitute, was hung on a cross, paying the penalty of the sin that we deserved to pay for, bearing the wrath of God that we deserve to take on, Isaiah 53. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was crushed for our transgressions. God placed the iniquity of all of us on His Son. All right? So that's what we're talking about. So reconciliation is God restoring the relationship between sinners and His holiness. The Greek word to reconcile, it means to change or to exchange. To change or to exchange. In the New Testament usage, this refers to a change in the sinner's relationship to God. And the problem, what we're seeing in talking about reconciliation, is you're seeing a problem. You're seeing a problem for all humanity in that we are at enmity of God, which means that we have that we are in His place. We are in a place to face His wrath because of our sin. But there's a change. This reconciliation refers to a change in sinners' relationship to God. Look back at the text here. I'm going to show you some cross references. But if you look back at the text, it says, "This is from God who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Now I'm going to go ahead and say this at the beginning, and you'll hear me because I want it to be clear as we talk about the ministry of reconciliation and God calling and God atoning. I believe that there is an object of His redemption. I believe that when Jesus went to the cross, yes, in one sense He was dying for all of the world, but in a different sense He was calling believers. He was dying for those who would by faith believe in Him. Now you say, what are you talking about, Stephen? If you look at Ephesians 1, you see that God, before the foundation of the world, was saving people, was calling people. Ephesians 1, it says that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things in earth. And we could go on and on and on and talk about and see text. And He talks about how we're being saved and we're being predestined and we're being and ultimately we're going to receive glorification. That's the ultimate goal. And so I believe that God is working. God is saving. God is calling. God is transforming. And when Jesus went to the cross, I don't want to propose some gospel to you that Jesus has cast, God's cast a verdict, and Jesus has cast a verdict, and you hold the determining verdict. I don't want to paint some picture that I'm holding the $20 bill up here, and anybody that comes and gets it can be saved, and will be saved. What I want to paint to you is a powerful Creator God who is doing a new birth and calling people to be transformed and saved. He is seeking and moving. And He's reconciling the world to Himself, and we are the means by which He is using that. And so we're called to the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to talk to you this morning about what it means to be an ambassador of Christ. Now you say, yes, Stephen, all people can be saved. Absolutely, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we know that many are not going to be, many are not going to receive Christ. Many are not going to by faith believe. And so as we herald the gospel, as we speak the good news, as we call people to repent and believe for salvation, some are going to, some aren't. Why is that? Why do some believe? Why do some look at you and don't believe? Because they've chosen to rebel against God. They've chosen to go their own way. In looking at this, and going back to looking at reconciliation, I want to take you to several verses that help us to understand it. In Colossians 1, 21 and 22. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. Paul, writing to the church of Colossae, says this. He says, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Do you see this exchange? Do you see this change? Do we see, as we're going to move to verse 21, where he who knew no sin took on sin? He was a sacrifice. He was a substitute so that we in turn could inherit and could be given the righteousness of Christ. That's the beautiful message and ministry of reconciliation. The gospel goes forward. You who believe can be saved. Jesus died in your place. Would you believe and repent and trust him as your Savior? And all of a sudden you believe. You see clearly, your eyes are open, you've been transformed, the Spirit of God has sought you and you've been changed, and now you are what we call a new creation. God did it. God sought you. It was all for His glory. It was all by His grace. It was all through faith that was a gift of Him. Let's continue to look at the text. Ephesians 2, 12. Go back a page or two, skip through Philippians, back into Ephesians. Ephesians 2:12, it talks about this wall of hostility that was broken down by the blood of Jesus. If you look at verse 12 of Ephesians 2, it says that, "Remember that when you were, that you were at the time separated from Christ," he's talking to the Gentiles here, and Jews, "and alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by" what? The blood of Christ. You who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We're going to celebrate that in just a few minutes. We're going to commemorate the death of Christ. Think about what that atonement, that blood shed on the cross, what it meant for me and you. "So you've been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace." That's what reconciliation does. Gives us peace. We're no longer enemies of God. We're his friends. It says, "who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility." This is painting reference to the Gentile court and the Jewish court. The Gentiles were only able to go to a certain point, but under the new covenant, because of the blood of Christ, because of the death of Christ, because of the resurrection, now there's no longer two, Gentiles and Jews, slave or free, or Scythian or different tribes or different people. We're all one in Christ. The two men were made one. It's about followers of Jesus, and that's it. "Been broken down the dividing wall in his flesh, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." Do you see how the cross was God's vindication of his holiness? Do you see how that through the death of his son, it brought glory to the righteousness of Christ and the justice and purity and holiness of God? There had to be a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sins. All of the Old Testament was pointing toward the substitute. All of the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, the law, the tabernacle, the Moses, the Ten Commandments, all of this was pointing toward the one who would come to fulfill. And as John the Baptist is baptizing, he looks up and he sees Jesus. He says, "Behold, look, there's the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world." That's what we mean by reconciliation. This relationship has been restored between a God who was righteous and a people who was sinful. I like Romans 6:23, and I like to share the gospel sometimes, and I like to paint this picture, is that for the wages of sin is death. And so something we earn because of our sin is death. It's what we deserve. What do? When somebody goes to work, you pay them what they earn. It's their wage. The wages of sin, because of our sin, what we earn is death. But the gift of God, the free gift, something that's given, is eternal life through who? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So because of Jesus, because of God's goodness, because of we're saved by grace through faith, because God in Christ reconciling the world to himself, now says, "I give you this gift of eternal life." You believe, you trust, you're made righteous because of Jesus' death on the cross. Reconciliation. Reconciliation. Just to finish that verse then, so it goes on to say that, through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you were no longer strangers and aliens, but you were fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Well, we're fixing to talk about ambassadors. We are from another country. We serve a new king. We are his agents. We are his messengers. The word ambassador comes from where we get our word elder. It's a maturity. It's a calling that's placed on our life to go into to speak, to share, to call people, to implore people to be reconciled to God. We're saved for a purpose. We have a new identity, as we've talked about. So you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself, the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Reconciliation. You know, in 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6, it says, "There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." One mediator. There's one who bridged the gap between a holy God and sinful man. It's the man Christ Jesus. Thereby we are reconciled through his death on the cross. I'll read one more set of verses for you. Romans 5. Romans 5 verse 8. If you want to flip there with me. Romans 5, 8, we know that verse, we love it. It says, "But God demonstrates or shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It goes on to say, "Since therefore we have now been justified," that means we've been made righteous, we've been made right, just as if we haven't sinned, "by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, by his death, by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." One of the commentaries said, "Saved by his life, Christ was able by his death to reconcile us to God." That's what it means, saved by his life. Through Christ, he was able to, by his death, to reconcile us to God. Certainly now that we are God's children, the Savior can keep us by his living power. All right? So God is bridging that gap through Christ. He's reconciling sinners to himself, to salvation. So we first see our identity as being reconciled by God. We are a new creation. We have been saved. Our life should look different. There is a supernatural work by the Spirit of God that has transformed us from the inside out. God, it says, the one who has done it all. He's the author of all of the newness, the new identity, the new life, the new desires, the new purposes. Verse 18 says, "All of this is from God. Through Christ, God reconciled us to himself." Now, it says he also gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So let's look at our purpose for a minute. What is our purpose as followers of Christ? What is the new nature move us toward? What is the ministry of reconciliation? Because that's our purpose, so let's find out what it is. What is the ministry of reconciliation? It says in verse 19 that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, reconciliation, it says it's not counting their trespasses against them. You see it right there? Not counting their trespasses against them. And it says, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we, as messengers, we have been bought with the blood of Jesus. We have been cleansed. We've been made right. We've been justified. We have the wall of hostility has been crushed. We have we are now called friends of God. And so in this new identity, what is our purpose? It says that we've been entrusted the message of reconciliation. Well, we've just talked about what reconciliation is. So now we have the glorious opportunity and stewardship, that word entrusted, to now call people to be reconciled to God. That is evangelism. That's salvation. That's calling people that's sharing our testimony. That's talking about how the old has gone, how new has come. What does that look like in your life? What is that new identity? What is the new life? Now we have the privilege to tell people about that. And it goes on to say that we are his ambassadors for Christ. So we have been entrusted. We've been given. This is a calling. This is a blessing. This is a privilege, but it's also a stewardship. I want us to see this. This is huge because a lot of times a religion and following Jesus has been dumbed down to some type of coming to sit on a pew, sitting and soaking and souring. We just come, we hear the word, we leave, and we go back about our everyday opportunity. We go back and we enjoy a good meal this afternoon. We go and we sit on our recliner. We turn back to our worldly activities through the week. And next week, it's time to do it all again. We're missing our identity and our calling and the message of reconciliation and these ambassadors of Christ that Christ has called us to be. It's a stewardship, but it's also a privilege. Tonight, I want to, in just our small amount of time that I'm going to take, and just in our little gathering before we go out and eat hamburgers, or as we eat hamburgers and as we get out and we play ball and we laugh and we cut up and we have a good time, I know that there's going to be a lot of visitors there tonight. I've talked about a community gathering to a lot of our softball, a lot of our teams from Wheels coaches or said, man, we love community. We're going to come out and eat a hamburger with you. And it sounds so much fun to play a softball game. They're coming. I don't know if they know Jesus. I don't know if church is important to them. Hopefully there's going to be a lot of people that come out today to just have a fun activity. I want to encourage them about the importance of living, knowing Christ, being reconciled to God, but then living in the newness, living with a purpose, living with this new identity. I'm looking at so many people, and I know there's so many people outside of these walls that would be followers of Christ, but their idea of following Jesus means coming to church on Sunday. That is not it. The church is his bride. The church is this spiritual reality of this identity, these ambassadors, these ones that have this entrusted with this ministry of reconciliation. The church, and I talked about people, I had a marriage counseling session with these couple yesterday, and I'm going to do their wedding for them, and I talked about how it's so important to be around people who love you and are going to encourage you, and they're going to help you grow in a relationship with Christ. They're 22 and 23 years old, and my heart just went out to them. Sunday to them is just time to be together, and I understand that, but y'all, I'm telling you, our enemy is powerful, and we need this church. We need one another. We need one another for the encouragement, but you have things to offer. The church is a way for you to be strengthened and to grow and to flourish and to know how to fight, to know how to put on the armor of God. The church is a place where we are, that not even the gates of hell can come against the church of God. And so we need strength. We come and commemorate the death of Christ and what that means, his body and his blood, the sacrament, the word of God to strengthen us and to teach us. But then we think about in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, and we're given these gifts that's to build up the body. And so if you're not a part of the body and the bride of Christ using your gifts, and if you're not working it with the entrusted message to reconcile the world through Christ, if you're not doing these things, you're missing your calling as a follower of Jesus. Amen? You're missing it. One, you're not experiencing. Two, you're not being faithful with what you've been called to do as ministers of the gospel. To share about the atonement of Jesus. To share how He died in your place. To share how you can experience newness by believing and trusting Him by faith. And so we've got a weak, anemic church that just comes and they don't know their purpose. They don't know their identity. They just straggle in here and look at their watch and, well, I made it close to on time. If they come to Sunday school, they really did good. And they're missing the riches of living for Jesus. They're missing the identity of being His ambassadors. Do you know that was one of the greatest callings of an ambassador? You're representing the King. You're going in another country and you've got your coats on, you've got your royal robes on, and you've got your identity, and you're wrapped up in this King. This man that sent you on a mission, and you're going with a purpose. And you look the part, and you dress the part, and you act the part, and you speak the part. And there's a pride in being an ambassador for Jesus. There's a pride in representing another country. What kind of pride are you wearing in being an ambassador for Christ? Are you taking your calling and what's been entrusted to you seriously? Is this new identity pervading your life? Is the message of reconciliation of the cross and the death and burial of Jesus and His raising to new life, is that on your word, in your mouth and on your lips? You know another thing about an ambassador? You're representing wherever you are. You know, when I used to serve as a youth pastor, I always had to tell people, like, children, you remember, you're representing your family, you're representing your church, and you're representing God wherever you go. And we thought that would work sometimes, and it might help, Patrick, but sometimes I wonder if that works. But we tell our teenagers when we leave, man, you're representing people. I'm sure Seth, being the baseball coach, when Faultful puts on that jersey and they go to Spring Garden next Friday, you know what they're doing? They're representing Faultful. And being an ambassador of Christ, wherever your feet are, that's where you're to be representing. From the time you get on the bus, from the time you get off in Gatlinburg or Gulf Shores, or from the time you leave, before you leave the church, before you even get to the church, your identity is in who you are. There's an identity, an ambassador of Christ, to where you are His messenger. You are His agent, the means by which He allows you to herald the gospel, to see people's lives transformed. Man, I don't know if I can help you understand that, but I pray that God's word would help you understand. You are a new creation for a purpose. You have a new identity for a reason. You are called an ambassador because you represent a King. Your citizenship is in heaven. I hope you'll take that seriously. As I encourage the people today, I want to talk about the realities of the gathering body of Christ. I can't tell you, the more and more people I talk to that say, well, church isn't really important. It's just having a relationship with Christ. Guys, the church shows faith. Being a part of a body of Christ, an active part of a body of Christ, shows that you really take God at His word and you believe Him. Because the church was an entity, an organism in which He died for. And so for you to say, oh, the church isn't important, is to make a mockery of the blood of Jesus. And so I'm getting more and more, as I study the scriptures and I see God's word, more and more time I'm starting to understand and learn that people say that they don't care about the body of Jesus. Tells me that they don't really have true faith in Christ, who loved the church and gave Himself for the church. I think about a place of shelter. You come to a place of shelter because you acknowledge your need. Someone that doesn't come to church, and you say, well, it's not a place. You're right. Someone that doesn't gather with the body, in some, whether it's under a tree, or whether it's in a synagogue, or whether it's in a temple or a church building, someone that doesn't gather with the body of believers, tells me that they don't really value and understand the need to be with God's people, which is a protection, which is a shelter. Our enemy, the hungry lion, comes after the ones that are straggling. If you watch the National Geographic channel, you don't ever see the lion attacking the herd. That little old lamb and gazelle and deer or whatever that gets away from the herd, that's the one that's going to get eaten. And if people say, oh, I don't need the church, I don't need the body of Christ, I read my Bible, I listen to this. Guys, not only do you need the fellowship and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and the preaching of the Word, not only do you need these things, but you've got something to give. You've got a gift that somebody in this congregation needs you to use to strengthen them. Reconciliation. We are united with Christ through His death on the cross. We are ambassadors. We are His followers. We've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. It goes on to say that God makes His appeal through us. God makes His appeal through us. You say, well, guys, that's important. That's an amazing privilege and stewardship. It says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be saved. We're calling you to believe on the one who died in your place, paid the penalty that you deserve to pay, that granted you righteousness that you could never have apart from the righteousness of the Son that died in your place. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Brother Vaughn and I have talked. We're ready to start back some evangelism. We're ready to pick a night of the week, every couple weeks or so, to go out. I was telling him, and I told some of our congregation Wednesday night, I was just reminded that as I was thinking, that I was looking and counseling the lady last week about, you know, she came to needed some help, and I was talking about the importance of following Christ and being a part of God's family and the church, and it dawned on me. Not only do I have her name in a file that's been there 10 years, I've got a whole filing cabinet full of names that go back 20 years. And so I've talked to Miss Allison and Vaughn and I, and we're going to start going through these records, and we're going to go visit these people. These addresses are all over Falkville. We need to go to them and say, be reconciled to God. You need to know Him. He loves you. He sent Jesus to die in your place. Would you follow Him? And are you following Him? Are you a part of His bride? Are you a faithful, committed follower of the family of faith in a local congregation? That's important. This is why that's important. We're going to have some wonderful conversations of all of you who will come join me to go out in our community and be ambassadors for Christ. Represent Him. And call people to repent and believe. Be reconciled. Let's move quickly. We're going to move quickly down here. And we're actually to the end here, because in looking at our new identity in Christ, we're looking at the message of reconciliation. We talked about that. Follow Jesus. Believe on the one who died in your place. We implore you on behalf of Jesus. Now let's look at basically what's the message. And this kind of moves us into ambassadors. Let's look real closely and clearly at the message. And we see that in verse 21. And we've kind of been indicating it a good bit and talking about that. 1 Corinthians 5, 21. I'm in Romans 5. I was fixed to read it to you. It was a good verse, but 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says this: for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. There's the message. It's pretty simple. You could teach Savannah and Harper and Will and Bethany, and you could teach kids that message. Simple message. Jesus died on the cross for you. Believe on Him. Follow Him. Just to hone in on that a little bit more clearly, Jesus knew no sin. You see His deity there. You see His righteousness. You see that He was the only one that could vindicate God's wrath and justice in dealing with sin, because He was the one that was pure and holy. So the perfect Lamb, He who knew no sin, for our sake. Now this don't mean Jesus became a sinner. It's almost like Jesus took all the sin of all those who would ever believe, and it was placed on him at the cross. And then his purity, his holiness, his righteousness was imputed, that's a spiritual word, I know, was placed to the account of sinners, of all those who, of every sin, of all those who would believe, would ever commit. There was this imputation of the righteousness of Christ, in that now there was this great exchange. That's why we share words like pardon and ransom, and we talk about substitute and propitiation, because there was this transaction that took place. We like to trade things. We like to see what I've got that's worth something and give you something that's worth something, and trade baseball cards. Kids are always trying to trade things, and there was this trading that took place. Jesus just had a whole lot better gift to give than what we could give. We gave him a bucket full of all our sin. He gave us a bucket full of all his righteousness. Doesn't seem very fair, does it? It's the grace of Christ, the grace and love of God. The grace and love of God. The reconciliation, a holy God, sinful man, the bridge gap by the mediator, the only mediator, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, on behalf of sinners. So it says, for our sake, let's read it again, for our sake, he made him to be sin. And this is your message. For our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. That's the simple message, Savannah. That's it. It's simple. Believe it. Let it change your life. And go live radically for God. As his faithful followers. As the ones who were new creations. As the ones who bear a new identity. As the ones who have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. As the ones who have put the old things in the past and repented of their sins. And follow him. Follow him. You were filthy. We'll close with this as we move toward a time of where we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. In him, we might become the righteousness of God. I kind of thought through this and wrote down some things that this means. You were filthy and dirty, and I cleaned you up, God says. Your clothes were tattered and torn. I clothed you in royal robes. The enemy had you in a dungeon of darkness and death. I snatched you out and transferred you to a new city of light and life. You were wandering aimlessly with no hope or purpose. I grabbed your hand, making you my friend, and entrusted unto you a message that will change the world. I'm making my appeal through you on behalf of my son. Be reconciled to me. That's your message. On behalf of Jesus, be reconciled to God. He died in your place. Believe and be saved. You are an ambassador of Christ. Behave respectfully to the people who are receiving the message. Show from whom we come and represent God. You are where your feet are, in your town, in your neighborhood, in your subdivision, in your classroom, in your office, on your sports team, in your family. You are his ambassadors. If you would, I want you to take this death of Jesus. He wants us to always remember this. It's at the core of who we are as ambassadors, as ministers of reconciliation. He's helping the Corinthians understand this, and he's told them in 1 Corinthians 12 that this is what it means to celebrate and remember and recognize my death. He would go on talking to them about the Lord's Supper. We think about the body of Christ. That was broken. It was placed on a cross. It was crushed, Isaiah says, because of our sin. We think about the blood of Jesus that was shed. We were brought near by the blood of Jesus. We were reconciled as sinful people to a holy God because of that sacrifice. And the blood of Jesus made all of the difference. And so in taking this, if you would go ahead and tear the the top section off, if you can see that, that little, if you'll take the bread representing the body, in the Last Supper, just before Jesus went to the cross, he took a piece of bread and probably looked more like this down here, and he broke it. He broke the bread. And he said, after he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take. He said, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Then in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, toward the verse 25 or 26, somewhere right in there, he said, you know, after the same manner, he took the cup. And he said, this is the new testament or the new covenant in my blood. He said, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. The death of Christ on the cross made all the difference. Pray that we would, as faithful followers of Christ, that it would always be on our mind and we would share what Jesus did on behalf of sinners, dying in their place and giving us his righteousness. And by faith, you can be saved. Would you trust him? Would you follow him? Pray that we would be faithful in our message that we have been entrusted with, to share the message of reconciliation, to implore people on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice. The sacrifice of your Son on the cross. We thank you for the freedom of life and victory and now hope that we have by seeing clearly the love of Jesus and his death in our place. Lord, it's made all the difference. We are now a new creation, brought from death to life. Old things are now in the past. New things are ever before us. God, we have, as your agents, as your ambassadors, we have a message. We have a calling. God, I pray that we would be faithful in sharing the good news of Jesus to all those around us. May our lives be a beautiful display of transformation of the gospel. Father, we love you and we thank you for our church and where we find freedom, where we encourage one another, where we use our gifts, where we find fellowship and joy and peace and contentment. Help us as we gather together to be strong and become strong, so that as we go out, we may be your ambassadors. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship together. This is a hymn of commitment and praise. Brother Ken's going to